afternoon drive hits the road tomorrow when Chris Carlin, Maggie Gray, and Bart Scott are in Tampa to talk Yankees baseball from 2 p.m. to 6:30 from George Steinbrenner Field, followed by Yankees Twins baseball, exclusively on your flagship station for the New York Yankees, The Fan, Sports Radio 101.9 FM and Sports Radio 66, WFAN and WFAN FM, New York.
Well, you can't have New York without sports. And you can't have sports without The Fan. Sports Radio 101.9 FM.
Your 66
WFAN, New York.
Welcome back to The Fan. Lori Rubenson here with you. And, well, the Giants have been a little busy and a little in the news. And certainly there's everything from the draft combine, there's free agency, there's cutting players and salary cap news, and then there's star players being in video news. To talk about all things Giants and look ahead also to free agency, we bring in Pat Leonard from the New York Daily News. Hey, Pat, how are you?
Great, Lori. Thanks for having me on. How are you?
I'm doing well. So, you know what? Let's start. We'll get into some of the crazy stuff with Odell Beckham Jr., but let's start off with, speaking of crazy, it was a crazy week of trades in the NFL, and it used to not be that many trades at all, and suddenly the Browns are making three trades in one day. So what's changed? Why are we all of a sudden seeing this offseason with all these trades?
Well, I think it reflects that teams don't like what they see on the free agent market as much as like what they like on other teams' rosters. I think you're seeing a team like the Browns has an unusual amount of draft capital to spend in trades, and they also have that cap space. So when you have that combination, both, you know, the ammo to give up to get a player like a Tyrod Taylor, for example, and you also have the money to pay these veteran players and not just the rookie draft picks, when you have those unique combinations, and then you also look at the Rams, like Les Snead with the Rams. Mm-hmm. The GM's been very aggressive. Clearly just has identified players that he wanted in his secondary, and an unusual trade of Alec Ogletree, because a lot of the people at the Rams really respected and loved his leadership, and there was a lot of shock seeing him leave. But clearly the Rams felt like they needed to upgrade their secondary and also free room. But very, very unusual, I would agree with you, too, the amount of activity we're seeing leading up to free agency here.
You mentioned two interesting teams, and both in different ways, I think, impact the Giants. First, let's start with the Browns. With all the moves the Browns made, trading for a quarterback in Tyrod Taylor, who could be that bridge quarterback, or could be the quarterback of the future. With all the moves the Browns made, do you feel like any of this impacts the Giants at all in terms of where the Browns might go with the draft?
I think it tells me, if I'm the Giants, that John Dorsey, the Browns GM, is willing to do whatever it takes. I mean, I think he's set an aggressive tone here, and the fact that he holds the number one and number four picks shows me a couple things. Number one, like if I'm Dave Gettleman, it shows me that Dorsey would be willing to trade. Like if teams are trying to jockey to trade up into the draft to get a guy, maybe Dorsey would be willing to trade a pick he has at the top of the draft, but also that whoever he wants at number one, he's going to take, and even maybe try to trade up from four if he wants to go 1-2 and perhaps even make the Giants an offer so that Dorsey and Cleveland can get their quarterback of the future and a Saquon Barkley. So if I'm Gettleman and I'm the Giants, it lets me know that there's going to be a lot of action, that Dorsey's going to be picking up his phone either to take calls or make calls often leading up to and on draft day. And I think it really puts in play both a quarterback and a Saquon Barkley at number one, because really I think you're looking at a GM who is going to make the decision that he believes is best. Dorsey, like Gettleman, is a football lifer. He's not a newbie. And if he thinks Barkley is the best player, bar none, in the draft at one, then he'll take him.
And you think with Dave Gettleman also as that football lifer that he's going to be with the Giants less worried about conventional wisdom and more just sort of the courage of his convictions?
Completely. And I do think, though, I should qualify also with Dorsey. Both of these gentlemen are well aware that their franchises need a quarterback of the long-term future. The Browns, especially, given their plight at that position for years on end. But even Dave Gettleman, too. You know, he knows he's a disciple of Ernie Accorsi. Ernie Accorsi has a long history of going to get franchise quarterbacks at the top of drafts and recognizing the value in that. And that won't be lost on Gettleman either. So I think their experience there also should show everybody that quarterbacks are in play for both teams. It's certainly in play for the Browns, and I think is in play for the Giants as well.
Now, Pat, you mentioned the Los Angeles Rams, who just traded with the Giants. They traded Alec Ogletree, their starting linebacker, to the Giants. But the other moves that the Rams have been making, so they got rid of that contract. But on the other hand, they have been loading up on cornerbacks, on top cornerbacks, taking on salary, taking on personalities at the cornerback position and getting deeper. And contrast that for me is that's the Rams' way that they're assessing the league is, hey, we have to get better and deeper at quarterbacks. And then you have the Giants with the news dropping today that the Giants are cutting Dominic Rogers Cromartie. Whether you want to make the case that he's their second best cornerback or, third best cornerback, however you want to look at it, but he certainly has been an impactful player at this for this team. Were you surprised that the Giants, as the Rams are sort of zigging in this direction, the Giants are going in a different way here?
You make a good point about the Rams there taking on risk in some of the players they're getting, even though they're good players, like a Marcus Peters or a Aqib Talib. You know, my take on that from the Rams' perspective is they're a team on the rise who, when they played the Falcons last year in the playoffs, I think it was very clear that the Rams didn't seem to have enough players who were able to handle the moment, whether it was because of a lack of experience or whatever the case may be. I don't think they had enough experience on the field. And then, just the back end of their defense. Aaron Donald, he played like a tornado in that game, and they still couldn't win it. So they needed help on the back. The Giants are in a different situation, though. They are coming off a season in which they were embarrassed, basically every week by a new story coming out of their locker room, whether it was immaturity or people talking behind people's backs and the locker room turning on the head coach. And, Rogers Cromartie had this one suspension and the one incident. I think more than anything, DRC being cut has to do with the money, because he was very well liked in the locker room and was a leader in the locker room. But I do think a part of it, too, is we just talked about Dave Gettleman doing what he thinks is right. He's trying to create a certain type of culture. He knows a guy like Rogers Cromartie is valuable talent-wise, but he wants him to be on the periphery of what's going to be happening from here on out. And that would mean taking a significant pay cut. And for a guy like DRC, who's very talented, is a ball hawk, and he knows that someone else will value him, that just wasn't going to fly for him.
Yeah, I'm sure he will. I'm not saying he's a Richard Sherman, but he's going to turn around and sign a deal with somebody.
No doubt.
And he had 1 year with the Giants. He'll get a few years with somebody else. Talking to Pat Leonard from the New York Daily News about the Giants. And so you mentioned that part of the trades has to do with maybe teams not loving what was sitting there in free agency. Starting tomorrow, we have what's, I guess, the legal tampering period where the teams can start to negotiate with free agents. They can't sign them officially until Wednesday, but they can start talking to free agents, negotiating with them starting tomorrow. So big picture in terms of this free agency class, is it pretty much Andrew Norwell or bust? Is that where the Giants shopping list begins and ends?
Yes. Norwell, the undrafted free agent in 2014, who Gettleman signed out of Ohio State to Carolina. He's now first-team All-Pro left guard for the Panthers, hitting free agency. I believed going into the combine that he would be the Giants' priority. I came out of it thinking the same thing, hearing a lot of people expecting that around the league as well. I wonder about Nate Solder, the Patriots' left tackle, only because he's really the only legitimate stud left tackle on the free agent market coming out here. And the Giants, of course, desperately need a left tackle. Ereck Flowers is no longer the answer. So if you go get Norwell, that really helps your line, you know, that he plugs into the middle of your line, and that's great. But you're still not addressing the blind side. So I'm curious about how that fares. Justin Pugh, the Giants' own free agent, I mean, it's not like they don't want him back. I just think that they would prioritize going and getting a Norwell as opposed to Pugh, who's probably going to get a ton of money to go elsewhere. And Justin wants to play guard, too. He's versatile and can play tackle and guard, but he prefers guard. That's where he has his star has really started to shine in the last couple of years here. And so I think, you know, it's not out of the question he comes back. I just think it's going to be hard for them to make the money work, especially given the fact that they're negotiating or working on a deal with Odell Beckham to pay him more money. And there's other positions they're going to need to look to upgrade as well. Corner depth, maybe another wide receiver, not a star, but another wide receiver, maybe some running back that could go in the draft. So there's a lot of little tangential position upgrades they're going to try to make too.
Don't they need to, you know, Norwell, let's assume it's going to cost, whether it's $12.5 million a year, $13 million a year, whatever it is, that's going to be a big contract. Beyond that, though, when you look at what the Giants have left on this offensive line, don't they need to sign at least two free agent offensive linemen?
Well, I would agree with you in theory. It's just if you sign Solder and Norwell, you're talking about, you know, $25 million tied up in those two combined for 4 or 5 years, whatever it is. And that's what they should be doing. You're absolutely right. It's just going to be tough to make the money work. Who else are they going to cut? I mean, Brandon Marshall is a likely candidate to be cut to save them more money. No question. I mean, Norwell himself would not solve that problem. I think this is a pretty good draft for offensive linemen, way better than last year's. So whatever the Giants do here in free agency with offensive linemen, they will not be done. But I think, you know, Solder is just going to be, there's a huge market for him because there really is no one else at left tackle. So the Giants would have more competition there. But listen, if they got him and didn't get Norwell, that would be getting a solid lineman at a position of need as well. And if they get them both, that's great. It would just be interesting to see how the pieces fall and who else is shipped out to create room for more players on the team.
Talking to Pat Leonard from the New York Daily News. Pat, I saw you tweeted out that the headline of your newspaper tomorrow is actually going to be focused on Odell Beckham Jr. And with this video, raising the question of should the Giants be looking at even potentially trading him or not? We're talking about a guy who I think we would agree is a top three wide receiver in the league, you know, however you want to rank them and order them, an impact player, you know, certainly one of the star players, makes the Giants better. You mentioned before the Giants looking to do a contract extension with him. How much does something like this video impact a Dave Gettleman or a John Mara as they think about that contract?
Yeah, no, it's a great question. I think even if you give Odell all the benefit of the doubt, and, you know, like the woman in the video told us at the Daily News, she claims that Odell did not do any drugs in that video. And so let's just give him the benefit of the doubt and say that he didn't.
Right.
The fact of the matter is the perception, the fact that the appearance that he is continuing to put himself in compromising positions while he's literally traveling the world representing the Giants and Nike, it's just another example of the type of behavior that John Mara is trying to get his organization away from. I mean, you really think about how the last 2 years, and then this year especially, have gone for the Giants. They've been on the back pages and the front pages for all the wrong reasons. They want to get back on the back page for winning football games. And listen, they have way more problems than Odell. I'm not pinning it all on Odell. But number one, this type of mistake at this time when he has the absolute most to lose most certainly has to affect his leverage in these negotiations and how much Mara and Gettleman will be willing to offer and pay him, particularly in guaranteed money and maybe even in term. And then secondly, the reason I bring up the idea of a trade is that I just wonder if Mara and Gettleman have this new mission statement of we want to return the Giants to the order and stability of Eli Manning and how the Giants used to win and used to be. And, you know, it's almost the old glory type thought. I don't know if Beckham's consistent distractions vibe well with what the Giants want to accomplish. In other words, if they commit to him for the long term, they are acknowledging and accepting these types of headlines and stories coming out of nowhere and blindsiding them, because this is what has happened with him over the recent past. And I'm just not sure if I think I don't know what John Mara and Dave Gettleman are thinking specifically at this moment, but I would be surprised if they're not at least considering that possibility. And I don't know if they're making phone calls or answering phone calls about what his trade value would be, but it seems to me it would be a logical next step given what we've just seen happen in the last couple of days and where the Giants are supposedly headed.
In the last few seconds before I let you go, is it possible that in some ways this is good timing from a Giants perspective in that maybe – you know, he's holding out for a certain kind of money, and does this, I don't know, put him maybe a little more than Mike Evans got, but you know, somehow knock down a few dollars?
Oh, from a Giants perspective, as far as value, this is good. Yes, you will not be offering him maybe the kind of money you were about to. But in my opinion, that just probably pushes it closer to a holdout, because Beckham's stats bear out that he is, per game, more valuable than these guys, Mike Evans, DeAndre Hopkins, you know, that he deserves to make more than them. And if the Giants aren't offering him more, he has a $25 million Nike contract. He doesn't want for money right now. So it could just get uglier before it gets better. So that might not necessarily be good for anyone.
All right. We'll see. We'll keep following it. Appreciate the time. Catch up with you down the road.
Great. Thanks, Lori.